Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not no one. They have no knowledge, all the evildoers, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. They shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad.
So many thoughts that the parable of the sower has thrown into my mind. It's been quite hard to work out exactly where to begin with this, I have to say. In many senses, it's a parable that remains a little bit of a mystery. It's in the context of a week where we still live out what on earth is going on with Trump and America, that great nation that has led the world for so long. It's in the context of refugees and people's rights and whether they are welcome or not and who is the stranger and at what point do you not become a stranger in your home. It's about the homeless, those who have no home. And so I began to think about, well, where are the ways in which we've used this idea of sowing and reaping and seeds? And there are any number of quotes that I found that are all about this, people who have taken up this theme. So you reap what you sow. We know that one so well. In these times when many are wondering how we got to where we are, perhaps it's a timely one to remember and reflect on. Many others I've also picked up that kind of a theme of looking back and trying to understand what's brought us to where we are today. I suppose there have been many other times in history when people have needed to do that. And here's a few others. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. Robert Louis Stevenson. Or what about when you assess your own life, consider it with the eye of a gardener. Underneath the surface lies rich, fertile soil, waiting to nurture the seeds you sow. Even more than you can imagine will grow there if given a chance. It was a gentleman called Stephen Goodyear. Or Stella Payton said, bloom where you are planted and sow where you are fed. Nice and to the point. Or Brenda Johnson Padgett said, your goals and dreams will never happen if you don't sow labour into time. And then there's a guy called Israel Ayevor, who had a lot to say with this particular metaphor. Try your best, do your best, sow the best and reap the best. The best is right in you. Don't hide it and give out the worst. We are looking right up to you. Think global, think big, think of planting a seed for unborn generations to taste. Think of making a shade that will provide comfort to others. If what you enjoy now appeals to you, thank God for the life of those who made it happen. However, the good news is that you too can make it happen. And then another one of his, a leader who sows confidence will reap excellency and legacy. A leader who sows fear will reap stagnancy or complacency. Only those who sow seeds of change can hope to grow and reap a harvest, Andrea Goglin. But my personal favourite really was, if we don't plant the things, the right things, we will reap the wrong things. It goes without saying. And you don't have to be, you know, a brilliant biochemist, and you don't have to have an IQ of 150. Just common sense tells you to be kind, ninny fool. Be kind. Maya Angelou. And then I was thinking about, well, and with children, the way that we shape them, there's that one that says, if a child lives with criticism, they learn to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, they learn to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If a child lives with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, they learn confidence. If a child lives with praise, they learn to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, they learn justice. If a child lives with security, they learn to have faith. If a child lives with approval, they learn to like themselves. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, they learn to find love in the world. And then there's Jesus and his parables, and particularly this one called The Sower. But is that really what it's about? Mark talks a lot about seeing and hearing things properly, but that's not easy when Jesus is being so cryptic with stories about shepherds and Samaritans and pearls and seeds. Who knew that such ordinary things could speak about what is most important in life? And words are important. Words carry weight. Words can bring both transformation and destruction. They help us to understand, or they can be used to confuse, which is why words need to be weighed and chewed, to be sifted. And once upon a time, we ministers, priests, whatever, would have stood and pontificated and told you what to do and what to believe, and you'd have accepted it. But our understanding of authority has changed, and now I'll be lucky if you remember all of this before you get out of the building, which could also be a reflection on how interesting I have been. Whilst it would be nice to think I can tell you what to do and what to think, in reality, it's a good thing it's changed. Because how can I possibly know what you need to hear? Or are even able to take on board today? Only God knows that. Much better, then, is to encourage you to listen and think and reflect, to let these words sit with you till they speak. And we should do that with all people in authority. Question and sift, mull and test. And this parable today is a good way of doing that. Jesus, the teacher, is inviting people to learn from the ordinary. So he sat down by the lakeside and looked around him. Maybe there was even someone there sewing whilst he spoke. He sits down as teachers did because their authority didn't come from standing above people. No, he sits and there comes from his words and who he is something that makes people listen. So the crowd hushes. And Jesus says, first word, listen. Well, why have people come if they're not going to listen? Perhaps that's a question we could ask of ourselves sometimes. Jesus goes on to tell this story. Well, what's it about? The sower? Is it about the soil? Is it about the seed? The seed is thrown out and there are three bad landings, and therefore loss of productivity. And three landings that produce increasingly good results. The seed is thrown out liberally, not placed carefully a seed at a time, but showered out from hand spread wide to fall where it will. As Jesus speaks, the crowd look around them, and there are the fields. They can see the pathways. They know that a thin layer of soil covers the hard limestone rock that prevents roots from going deep. They can hear the array of birds that lives near the sea, chirping, calling to each other. The crowd understands that Jesus is telling a story born in their real life. But what does it mean? Is it just a good story? And then he finishes it again with the word, listen. Aren't we listening? Is it a story about the one who sows? Some have assumed that, or it wouldn't be called, the parable of the sower. We can see the wildness of the sower, throwing out the seed willy-nilly rather than this careful planting, just randomly, generously, hopefully sending out the seed. Who is the sower? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus' followers? Is it the religious leaders he's talking about? Is it God? Or is the parable about the soil? Is Jesus inviting us to think about where the seed falls? They might be hearing it by a lake in the countryside in a Roman-occupied territory, but the seed will also end up in cities and towns. It will be spread around and beyond into neighboring lands, sowed into unheard-of places, villages in far reaches of the empire, beyond the empire's limits to the ends of the earth. To people who live in great tower blocks and people who live in huts made of mud, people who have no home, it will fall amongst people in the corridors of power and people who are powerless. It will be heard by those who have nothing and those who have far too much of everything to know what to do with it. It will fall with those who love and with those who hate. Out it goes, reaching places they could never have imagined, that we forget to imagine. If we simply think of our own city and the diversity of soil into which the seed of the kingdom of God might fall today, and even here at Tyndale, we too are a right muddy patch, aren't we? Is Jesus inviting us to think about what makes the best soil for the seeds? Or I wonder if it's about the seed. Is that the secret of the parable? The sower is important, and we can look forward to meeting all these different types of soil as people continue to journey with Jesus' ministry. But what if the seed is the focus? In the seed is life. A small seed can have a powerful effect. It has amazing potential. It can grow into the largest of trees. The seed about the kingdom of God and life, a place where life grows, where goodness and love flourish, where all are welcome, but not everyone embraces it. It's thrown out anywhere and everywhere, generously, not meanly, and this seed can have a powerful effect in the life of just one person. It can change lives. It goes out into all kinds of places, touches all kinds of people. It has even touched us. Yet with all its potential and power, part of the secret is what happens when the seed hits the soil. Maybe it's the parable of the seed and the soil together. Because what grows is also part of the story, part of what matters. So we keep on telling the stories of Jesus, speaking words about a different kingdom with different values than those of economics and wealth creation. We keep on about putting people first and loving our neighbours and our enemies alike. We're called to throw out these words and actions that demonstrate love and welcome for friend and stranger alike. We keep on opening up the doors so that whenever, whoever needs, then they could come in and find help and strength and a place to put down roots of community and friendship, of faith and hope. In that way, we are invited to keep on with the sowing, fertilizing, churning up the soil where we can, reaping when the harvest is ready, which it invariably is, if only we had eyes to see and ears to hear. So I wonder today, are you a sower? Can you see that in yourself? Or what kind of soil would you describe yourself as? That's where the context of our lives is so important. There are people here today who are hurting and brokenhearted. There are people here today who are celebrating things in life. There are people here today with worries about tomorrow. What kind of soil? And maybe the seed of love has been planted in your heart, and how is it growing? How's it going? How's it being nurtured? What are you feeding it with? See, hearing God's words about the kingdom isn't just something to mull over. It's an event. Something is happening to us when we hear God's word. It has the potential to be life-changing and dynamic, which is why it should never be taken lightly, doing what I'm doing now. We will either be better or worse for it. God forbid that nothing should have changed, that it made no difference, that it bore no fruit. There is a listening which goes beyond the ears and is heard in the heart. It opens up an inner ear to understand the secret of who Jesus really is for us today. The Son of God. It changes us inside to understand that the kingdom of God finds a home within us, and we are home in the kingdom of God. With different values, with a significance that stretches beyond now to what is yet to come as the story of God's word made flesh. Jesus Christ continues to land where it's sowed, to take root, to grow.